Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. If you are not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system. You can learn more by directing your web browser to sdf.org or to sdfarc.org. I will pause now to allow for any emergency or priority traffic, or to allow you to disconnect from the conference if you do not want to stay for our net. I am Alpha Bravo 9, Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne, and I'm located in Urbana, Illinois. My SDF username is JWH. This net meets every Monday at 0 hour Zulu via Echolink node 9229, the TechLink conference. We would like to thank Michael, VE7KI, for allowing us to use this conference for our net. This is a directed net. That means that if you have something to say, give your call and wait for the net control to acknowledge you and give you the floor. Our net is open to all radio amateurs and is not restricted to members of the SDF Amateur Radio Club. We like to have a question of the week to kickstart our discussion. This week's question or topic is Shack power supply and distribution. And by that I mean, do you use a linear power supply or a switching power supply, or I don't know, is there an alternative? And for distributing the power to around your shack, do you use banana plugs or power poles or maybe raw wires or I don't know, something else? So anyway, all things related to supplying power to your radio gear. And there's something that I've been wondering about. When we have a topic, I think that it may be that people are interpreting it as a survey. You know, we're just kind of counting what people, you know, do or think, whatever. But it's also an invitation for questions. So if maybe you have been trying to decide whether to use, let's say, a linear versus a switching power supply, you know, this is, might be your opportunity to ask a question about that. So it's not just a survey asking for opinions. It's, you know, a topic to be discussed. So where am I back in the script here? So I will take several rounds of check-ins, and each time in a round, some rounds I will specify, say, Echolink only or All-Star only or DMR only, we'll get around to everybody eventually, so just hang in there. And I can take several check-ins at once, so you don't have to, you know, if somebody gets in there before you, you don't have to wait, you know, for the next round. You can go ahead and come in on their coattails, and I'll add you to my list as we go along. And because I'm using the IBM PC, you know, app for Echolink, I can see several stations are already connected, such as KC3LYZ, N4RNW, PY2BIL, and NB0X. I also see that the ham conference, ran a little too long there. I was just saying that I see the ham conference is connected, so we will take a we'll be taking some check-ins from there shortly. So anyway, if you are connected and you did not hear your call sign, and I guess this is mainly directed to those people on the ham conference, please come now with your call sign. I'll add you to my list, and you'll get your turn to speak.
Kilo Echo 8, Oscar Golf Tango, Echo Link, no traffic.
Yeah, Vic Hatch, Range JQ, morning.
Okay, I heard two call signs there, VK3HJQ, I'm sure about. The other one, Kilo Echo 8, something Golf Tango. I'm not sure if it was Echo or Oscar. So let's go with that one. I'm adding you both to my list here, but I'm going to go back and start with the ones that were here at the beginning. So the first one on my list is PY2BIL.
Hello, everybody. This is Guillermo, PY2BIL, G Carnarion, SDF. So, glad to be back. I was away for a couple of weeks. Everything okay, though. So, it was just other things kept me busy here. So, today, power in the shack. So, I'm pretty basic here. I have a switching power supply unit, 30 amps, right, Chinese-made. It's rebranded and sold under several brands. It's sort of a black box, which looks like a big heat sink unit, right? It's mostly sold by Alinco, right? So it's good. It's in service for maybe 5 years. Had no problems so far. Low noise, so it behaves as it should. So that's all I have, actually, right? So I know the topic might be linear or switching, so no linear supply here. And banana plug or how's that, power pole? We don't have any power poles here in this side of the world, so banana plug or whatever to connect your equipment, your rig to the power supply is all we have. So that's all I have for tonight. So back to you, Wayne. This is PY2BIL.
Okay, thank you, Guillermo. Well, that's interesting that you do not have Anderson power poles down there in Brazil. And maybe that applies to all of South America, and I'll be interested to hear what the folks over there in Down Under say about that, whether they had them. And it occurs to me while I was listening to you that I did not think to mention one interesting aspect of power supplies is whether you buy it off the shelf or build it yourself. So that's also something that would be interesting to hear what people have to say. So next on my list here is, I've got MB0X, Matthew.
This is NB0X, Matthew, located in Southern California. SDF username is nonlinear. And thank you for running the net this week, Wayne. As far as power supplies are concerned, I have a number of switching supplies that I use. I bought a hefty one that does like 30 amps off of from Amazon to drive my FT991, and I've been really happy with it. You know, and it has a little knob on it that's supposed to like adjust the frequency or some way of the spurs so that you can kind of tune them out of your current band. I've not noticed any difference using it, so I haven't played with it beyond the initial tryout. But I'm pretty happy with it. And then I have some other just various 12-volt switching supplies for my 2-meter 440s that are just sitting around on my desk. And no issues there either. So that's pretty much what I have. I don't have a nice distribution system. I'd like to put some power pole distribution set up together one of these days. But everything's kind of always in flux, which would make the power pole distribution nice, but also just haven't been able to get to it. And so that's it, but I'm certainly interested to hear what everybody else is doing on this topic. So, again, thank you, and this is NB0X. Back to net.
All right. Well, thank you, Matthew. I think we've got a lot of things to discuss here about power supplies and wiring here. Next on my list is N4RNW, Harold in Florida.
Well, good evening, Wayne, and good evening to the group. This is Harold, N4RNW, in sunny southwest Florida, Fort Myers. Really nothing to say. Thought I'd jump in here and listen to what everybody else has got to say. So hope everybody has a good night, and I'll be listening. N4RNW, Wayne.
Okay, thank you, Harold. Next on my list is KC3LYZ. Robert. Okay, I think he may have stepped away from the radio there. Let me acknowledge that I saw VK2DY joined us. And a couple of other stations that joined us and then disappeared. So, who's next on my list here? I think VK2DY. Go ahead, Robert. Before you go, Robert, I hope I'm not doubling with you here. Perhaps I need to fill you in on what we're talking about. The topic this week is power supplies and power distribution in your Radio Shack. And we're talking about, like, do you use a linear power supply or a switching power supply or, I don't know, something else? And when it comes to distributing the output of your power supply to your radios, do you use, you know, bare wires? Do you use banana plugs? Do you use Anderson power poles? Or maybe there's some other solution if you have. So that's what we're talking about this week.
Yes. Good morning. This is Robert, Victor Kilo, 2 Delta Yankee in, I'll give my tagline, Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales, but all part of the urban sprawl that is Sydney. It's about 16 degrees here, headed for a high of 22 Celsius. So, and the sun is shining, sky is blue, pretty good autumn day. Well, to tell you the truth, you know, I have not, my ham shack at this point consists of various computers and mobile phones. The only time I use HF at this point is mobile, or even if I use it at home, I use a mobile antenna and use its internal batteries in my F97. So I don't do a lot with power supplies at this point. I don't need to. If I decide to get more serious again back into HF, I'll have to look into that and make some decisions. But at this point, like I said, the only HF I do is with a rig that I take portable with me when I go out to places like beaches and other things like that. I don't really do much HF at home anymore. Thank you, though, for taking my in, VK2I, back to net.
Okay, I just want to make a couple of comments there. Now, one of them is that I think you may be speaking a little bit close to your mic, and I think that that was causing some distortion, not your typical peaking distortion, but almost like dropping out a little bit there. So I'm just thinking that you might want to, you might have some room to be a little bit farther away from your microphone when you're speaking. And the other thing is, I think you seem to be specializing or concentrating on HF, and I did not mean to limit the discussion to HF. In my shack here, and it's probably about time for me to give my answer to the topic, I have an Astron switching power supply in the shack here. It's about a 30-amp power supply, and I have lots of Anderson power pole connectors coming out of it. It's kind of a hodgepodge. What I really should have is like an outlet strip with like 10 power pole outlets on it to power all the various devices that run off of 12 volts here in the shack. And I have several UHF or UHF VHF or just VHF only or scanners. You know, I have probably 10 or 12 radios in the shack here that all run off of 12 volts. And so, as I said, I have kind of a rat's nest of wires, you know, Anderson Power Pole splitters, or you might have seen, you can get an Anderson Power Pole kind of a 1-3 splitter. Anyway, so I've got this kind of mess of wires here to distribute 12 volts to all the 12-volt hungry radios in my shack here. And none of them here are HF. These are all UHF, VHF, scanners, and so forth. So those are kind of the two comments that I wanted to make. Let me pass it back to you to see if you have something to say.
K2DY. Yeah, well, I guess repeaters are dead and scanners are dead. So I have very little reason to use UHF or VHF. I can connect to DMR through it, but otherwise there isn't a whole lot of use in my house for VHF or UHF. I think I've called out on repeaters and nobody ever answers on a repeater. Anyway, thank you so much, VK2DY.
Okay, I guess if you've got like an HT, you just keep it on the charger or something like that, so you don't need a power supply, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, let's see. Where am I on my list here? Let me acknowledge that I see DK6DQQ has joined us. Let's see if anyone else here. I don't see any new call signs on the list there. VK3HJQ seems to have disappeared. KE8EGT also likewise. And G4HJM was here and is gone. KD0CDQ was here for a while and it now is gone. Let's go to VK6BQQ. Hi, Reg. Let me refresh here. The topic this week is power supplies and power distribution in your shack. And by that I mean linear versus switching versus whatever else, and power poles versus banana plugs versus bare wires versus whatever else. So, and also homebrew versus commercial.
Hey, BK6BQQ. Well, interesting subject, yeah, power supplies. One of the five basic circuits we relate to on our TechNet power supplies. Yes, very interesting. Well, I'm not all really into the switching power supplies. I like the brute force. Have a big old transformer and a couple of big old capacitors and some good heavy diodes. I'm building one right now, actually. Going to be about a 40 or 50 amp jobby. Just for curiosity, I might use it for welding or something, but I think a good regulated power supply is a good idea, and banana plugs are out, forget that. I haven't really seen a good plug, but there are a few. Amphenol had some good ones out. But, you know, a good solid connection on the power is mandatory, no matter what they say, and I heard people using B and C connectors and all sorts of craziness like that, twisting the wires together, using Marettes or Mars. John would know what those are. But, yeah, all good. Back to you, Wayne. I'm just getting up here having my coffee, so we'll let somebody else. I'll listen for a bit. AB9FJ, AX6BQQ, ANSEC Day, holiday.
All right, no AX, that was yesterday, Rich.
Well, John, I'm using it today, and if the governor doesn't like it, he can go to you-know-where.
Right, you tell them there, Reg. But so there's something on the tip of my tongue there. So you're talking about you reject banana plugs, and I still have this question. Is Anderson Power Poles only an American thing? Do you guys down under or in South America or wherever else, is that just not a product that's available for you?
Well, I do hear the folks yetter about Anderson Power Poles and plugs. I'm not really familiar with them, to be quite honest with you. Any power supply I've got is basically a commercial one, and they're using those silly banana plugs on a lot of it, but a lot of them are heavy-duty screw type, so you have to use a an actual connection to the power supplies. But I think I have heard Anderson stuff. John, what do you think?
How's that referring to me, John? Big HJQ. I'll put it back to Wayne first before he puts it over to me.
Well, you're next on my list there, VK3HJQ, so go ahead.
Thanks, Wayne. Yeah, Reg, yeah, AX call signs was yesterday. That's a legal transmission. I've got you down in the log and I've recorded it. I'm turning it in. what a ripper. Power supply, yeah, I got stacks of them. 30 amp, a 10 amp, 7.5 amp, a 4 amp one. And I use 6 mil squared DC cable, and I use eyelets, and all mine are home built, except for one of them. No, one, my 4 amp one I bought when I had a, when I think when I was 10 or 12 years old, when I first got my CB. So I've had that for a long time. But all the rest, the 30 amp ones, a homemade one built in an ammo box. 10 amp ones homemade, the 7.5 amp ones homemade, they're all linear power supplies. I don't have any switch mode power supplies at all. Although they're a lot better switch mode now than in the early days when I built all these power supplies. They used to cause a lot of havoc on HF, of course. Now they're a lot better. And as for connections, yeah, they do use Anderson power poles here in Australia. I don't use them. I just normally, all my terminations have screw terminals on them. And then I just use automotive eyelets, solder them and crimp them, and use heavy cable off it. Although my 30 amp power supply's got a T connector. I don't know if you guys have heard of a T connector. They're 32 volt systems. It looks like a 3-pin 240 volt mains plug with only two connectors on it. It looks like a T. So the one that runs horizontal is obviously the negative, and the one that runs vertical is a positive. They used to use them years ago on 32 volt system. That's what runs off my main 30 amp supply, and that was the go, well, 30 years ago. So that's about the story, Wayne. Back to Ned, VK3HJQ. Good morning.
Okay, real good. And yeah, I'm not sure if I'm thinking of the same T-shaped connector that you're talking about, but you know, a lot of Japanese radios come with a T-shaped power connector on them, and usually they also supply a T connector on a pigtail, perhaps even with ring terminals or spade lugs on the other end for attaching to a battery or a power supply. And what I always do with all the Japanese radios that I buy is I put Anderson power poles on the little pigtail there. And let's see, there was something else that was on the tip of my tongue there after you. I don't know. I'll think of it in a minute here, probably. Let me see if there's anybody new showing up here. I don't see any actually on my dashboard here, but it's probably about time for me to just give a blanket call for anyone on the HAM conference or any other conference that happens to be connected to TechLink. So any All-Star or EchoLink or DMR stations out there, please come now with your call sign and add you to my list.
This is Kilo Echo 8, Oscar Golf Tango. Kilo Echo 8, Oscar Golf Tango. I checked in earlier, and then you'd say I dropped off, so checking back in. KE8OGT.
Okay, I got you again, KE8OGT. You're coming in through the ham conference, so that's why you disappeared from my list here. Anyone else out there, please call now. Okay, well, let's go to KE8OGT.
This is KE8OGT. Good evening, and thanks for doing the net tonight. Just before I get to your topic on the power supply, I'm a fairly new ham. I just started to play around with Echolink a little bit. I'm actually connected through a New Zealand repeater, so I don't know if that's where this is net is out of or what. This is all pretty much new territory to me. I got my tech license last year and basically just mostly use it on 2-meter stuff here locally with some other friends that are hams and learning a little bit as I go. I did get my general, but I do not have any HF equipment as of yet. So just playing around with Echolink a little bit. I'm running just a Yaesu 1500 mobile for my home radio and a Linko power supply. I guess it's a linear, just got one radio to it, doesn't switch. Just screw gizmos on the back for the wires to go onto. I'm not a real technical guy, so this is a big learning curve for me, but I do appreciate you letting me check into the net tonight. KE8OGT, back to net control.
Okay, well, I have some comments about your message there, but first let me ask for you to give us your handle, that is your first name, and your location. And if you happen to be a member of the SDF community, if you have a username, that as well.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yeah, my name is John, KE8OGT, and I am in Ontonagon, Michigan. I'm not a member of really anything at this point, so, you know, that you mentioned this is a ham conference, and like I said, this is all new to me. I'm just kind of experimenting a little bit with Echolink here the last few nights and trying to get a feel for it. So I'm always willing to learn and always willing to be corrected. So I appreciate your questions. KE8OGT, back to net.
Okay, well, this is probably a good time for me to take a moment to recap that this net is the weekly net of the SDF Amateur Radio Club, and the SDF stands for the Super Dimension Fortress. It's an anime thing. I don't really understand that, but that's what we call it, and it's a three-letter domain. I mean, who can complain about that, right? You can go to that's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, and you can go to sdf.org and get yourself a free account and start playing with a Unix/Linux operating system. If you're not already familiar with Unix, you know, this is a way that you can get on there and learn about it. You can get yourself a free website. You can get free email. You know, you can get if you log in and choose your call sign as your username, then your call sign at sdf.org becomes your mailbox. So anyway, there's all kinds of good reasons for signing up for SDF. Let's see what else. I think you're a new ham, so it's natural that there are some things that you might be missing here. And in particular, when we talk about a switching power supply, it has nothing to do with how many devices you plug into it. It has to do with how the power supply works. And without spending a lot of time going into it, a linear power supply usually has a big honking transformer in it. It weighs a lot, and it's always consuming power. A switching power supply, instead of using, you know, this transformer, it uses semiconductors, and it's kind of slicing and dicing the power, and it consumes less power input if you're using less power on the output. So it's a lot more efficient than a linear power supply, but it has its other issues here. So we won't go into all of that right now, but that's just something that you'll learn as you develop in the hobby here, something to look forward to. Let's see, was there anything else I wanted to mention there? Can't think of any. So let me pass it back to you, though, if you have any questions right now.
No, that's K8OGT. No, what you just explained on us, the power plays, was very helpful. I really know nothing about them. The one I have was given to me by a good friend who I consider my own, and he's going to get me into the hobby. But, yeah, I will definitely check out the SDF.org. I don't do anything with a computer as far as computers hooked up to my radio, because I just frankly don't have the equipment for it right now. Everything is pretty much just, like I said, I'm running a mobile 2-meter in the house and a 2-meter in my truck for now. Hopefully sometime this year to get into the HF side of thing. I just got my general license here a month or two ago, but had not done anything with it on HF. So like I said, it's just a big learning curve for me, and it's fishing season coming on strong, so I probably won't get a whole lot of time to delve into it. So anyway, thank you very much for your input and your assistance. I greatly appreciate it, and thanks again for allowing me to join the net tonight. KE8OGT, back to net.
Okay, well, John, welcome to the hobby, and thank you for checking in. And we do this every week at the same time, 0 hour Zulu, that's UTC. It's 1900 Central Time here, Central Daylight Time. I think you're in Michigan, so you're in Eastern Time, so I guess it's like 2000 over there. So let's see. I actually do see a new station pop up on my dashboard here, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Juliet, Foxtrot Juliet. Got to love that suffix. But he's listen only, so I won't expect him to transmit. But if you're using the PC or telephone app, you might say something in the chat window there, and we'll see you. I'll put you down as a check-in. And I think I have given everyone a chance. So let's see, anyone who's already checked in who would like to recheck, please call now.
PY2BAL.
Go ahead, Guillermo.
Thanks, Wayne. This is PY2BAL. Regarding your questions about power poles down here in the south of the Americas, we don't usually see them, neither in Brazil nor in Argentina, and you don't read about them a lot, almost nothing. So I can safely assume that it's very rare, the usage of them. I have seen them on some estates, sales, some guys who put them up there for sale, but sort of on eBay kind of sites, right? But it's very, very rare. So, we don't use them. I mostly use this screw-on type here, right? And banana plugs when I don't have anything else, right? Usually with low amp consumption, right? So the little equipment that goes on there easily. But that's about the power poles. I love to have them, but we don't. Okay, back to you, Wayne. This is PY2BAL.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I'm trying to think when Anderson power poles were invented or when they started becoming a popular thing. I got my license about 20 years ago, and they were kind of making inroads in the market then. So they're fairly recent, I guess. I know that MFJ was still making banana plug distribution, power distribution strips, right up to, just a few years ago. But they're still making them because, a lot of people like, banana plugs. It's kind of traditional. And I'm thinking of, for CB in the car, there's a particular kind of connector that's polarized, and it's meant to prevent people from plugging it in the wrong way, right? There's only one way to connect them, and The beauty of the Anderson power pole, besides, well, several other things about it, but the beauty of it to me is that, how to say this, you can use power pole connectors on a cable to connect, for example, a battery to a radio or a power supply to a radio. You know, that's, you know, practically any connector will work for that. But the beauty of the Anderson power pole is that you can use it to connect a power supply to a battery and charge your battery off of your AC power supply. And all the other connectors, they won't do that. So, anyway, enough of that. Let's see, has anyone else joined us here? I don't see any new call signs. So let me say, let's give the DMR people an opening here. Anyone on DMR or All-Star, please come now with your call sign.
I just got a recheck there. Dwayne, sorry, Wayne, the Gatorade JQ.
Okay, go ahead, John.
According to Wikipedia, it looks like they first patented in 1958, Anderson power pole connectors. Actually, 53. Okay, it's got a couple of different years here. 53, 58, and then they kept developing up until 2008, so maybe there's a stack of different Anderson products out there. Yeah, well, in the car, I used to use those polarized connectors for when I used to run the CV, and then because I use a lot of commercial radios, you just put two fuses in and you feed them, you know, back to front. So that helps you get the radio out, and that acts as your connector as well too. So I don't use connectors in the car. I just run it heavy cable straight to the battery, and then just use two fuses up near the radio so that I can disconnect the radio, and then you haven't got a connector to worry about. And Anderson power poles are really designed for high current. And that's probably why I don't use them. Although my 30 amp power supply, I only draw about 10 or 12 amps out of it. And I put a link in the text box of those T connectors. Yeah, it looks like a mains plug, 32 volt, 15 amp. They used to use them years and years ago, and that was the only thing that was available when I first built this MA box power supply that I made. It's a humongous big thing, weighs a ton. The transformer in it can probably handle 50 amps. I've never tried to do a put a dead short across it and see how much I can get out of it. Anyway, it's got a 30 amp fuse in it. What else are they going to state? I think that was about it. But because I don't use high current, that's why probably the reason I don't use Anderson power poles, and I just use, like I said, these are the ring terminals that are standard on the power supplies with an automotive eyelet. And because most of my stuff 70 centimeter and 2 meter radios, and of course the max they draw is probably, well, at 25 watts they probably draw 6 or 8 amps anyway. So no big current draws there. Wayne, over.
KC1 PCF Echo Link.
Am I doubling? It says I'm doubling. Let me start over. Okay. Well, it's kind of nice that you can use the same connector to power your 5-watt HT or your 100-watt HF rig and not have to worry about, you know, the power levels involved there. What was the other thing I was thinking about? The obvious big advantage of something like power poles over screw terminals is that you don't need a screwdriver to disconnect something. You just pull it apart and plug it back in. So, but if you always have a screwdriver handy, maybe that's not such a big deal. So let me see. Anybody join us here? No, I don't see any new call signs on the dashboard here. How about anybody on the ham conference? Anyone out there on Echolink?
On PCF, Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Okay, I heard something, Papa Papa Foxtrot on Cape Cod. Would you come back again with your call sign slowly?
Charlie, 1, Papa, Charlie, Foxtrot, Cape Cod, Mass.
Okay, and what was the prefix? Was it Charlie 1?
One, correct. Name's Rich.
Okay, I think you're keying kind of quickly there. All I heard was, you know, one, yes, that was correct. So let me just make sure I got this right. Charlie One, Papa Charlie Foxtrot, Rich on Cape Cod.
Kilo Charlie One, Papa Charlie Foxtrot, Cape Cod.
Okay, that makes a whole lot more sense. I was trying to think, where the hell would a Charlie 1 prefix be coming from? All right, yeah, thank you there. I'm just saying maybe a slight pause after you start keying up there would help there. So anyway, welcome to our little net here, Rich, and since I don't recognize your call sign, I probably should back up and say that this is the SDF, Sierra Delta Foxtrot, Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net. The SDF is a public access Unix system, and you can get yourself a free account and experiment with Unix and websites and email and all kinds of good stuff there by going to sdf.org. And we have this little net here every week on Echolink on 9229 TechLink at 0 hour Zulu on Monday. And we usually have a topic to talk about, and this week's topic is power supply and distribution in the ham shack. What kind of power supply do you have, like linear versus switching versus whatever, batteries perhaps, solar power, you know, any all those possibilities. And then once you have, say, 12-volt output, how do you get it around to all the radios in your shack? Do you use bare wires, ring terminals, banana plugs, power poles, anything else? So that's what we've been talking about.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for letting me get in here. I actually just got off my local net. I belong to Barnstable Amateur Radio Club here in Barnstable County, Massachusetts. I'm on the lower Cape end of the Cape, kind of down by the elbow, more in the northern side towards the bay. As far as power supplies, I actually run a couple. I've got an Astron 50. I don't really have a whole heck of a lot of equipment running on the 12 now, but I also have a Maxon 7 too that runs my TH9800 that I'm running for my local stuff down here on the 6 meter, and actually does the quad. So yeah, that's about it. And you guys are in Rutland, is that correct, sir?
I'm not sure what Rutland refers to. By you guys, if you're referring to SDF, our servers, the servers for the computers are all in the Seattle area. But because our members are all over the world, we have our net on Echolink, and we happen to use this conference for our net, and I don't know, is there a location for this conference? Hey, John or Reg or one of you guys, do you know where the servers are located? Does it even matter? It's all up in the cloud somewhere. Rutland. I don't know. What did you mean by that, Reg?
My apologies. Rutland, Vermont is the repeater through Echolink that I have logged into. WG1Q repeater is the one I'm on right now. That's why I thought you guys, what I meant by you guys was I thought this was a local northern. I didn't realize that it was all looped around. Back to you.
Ah, yes, of course, right. So your local repeater there has probably been connected over Echolink, I think, into the ham conference. I think that's where you were showing up here there. So, you know, Echolink is amazing, and we don't have time to talk about it here, but I assume you probably already know quite a bit about it. I don't need to explain it to you. So we are here through the magic of Echolink. So let me pass it back to you real quick if you have anything to add, and then I will take new check-ins or rechecks.
Yeah, I'm new to the whole EchoLink thing. I'm learning it. I mean, I have a really good understanding of the program because I work with other communications other than this, but based on this type of format is through the computer. So interesting enough, and I'll let you get back to your net. Thank you again for talking with me. KC1PCF, Cape Cod, Massachusetts on the EchoLink repeater. We'll be standing by.
Okay, and once again, welcome to our little net here. We do this every week at the same time on the same conference. If I gather that somebody else connected your local repeater to the conference this week, and if you come back next week, maybe that person will not be there and to do that. So it's node 9229. And also, you do not depend upon your local repeater being connected. You can go to echolink.org and download a PC app and get yourself verified access. You know, it's a little bit of paperwork there. But once you do that, you can use your PC to connect to the conference. Or you can they have apps for Android and iOS for your smartphone. So you can actually check into the net without a radio. So anyway, hope we'll hear from you again in the future. Let's see, checking again on the dashboard here. I see no new call signs, so I'm ready to take rechecks or new check-ins from anyone out there.
NB0X.
Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I just was thinking about anybody who's out there into DIY for the Anderson Power Poles. There's some good projects. You can get some open source PCBs from oshpark.com. If you're not familiar with Oshpark, it's a kind of a PCB vendor. Well, it is a PCB vendor that's in the Pacific Northwest. But you can, if people submit boards for building through their service, you can opt to have the boards be made available for sharing. So you can go on their website and search what PCBs they have that other people have made. And there's a few there for power poles. And then furthermore, if you're anybody's into 3D printing, there's a few projects on Thingiverse. And, of course, you can find them elsewhere for power poles. So you can make little power pole distribution centers, some with fuses and LEDs, and some just kind of very simple distribution little boxes. So there's some neat things you can do in terms of DIY with power poles in terms of custom or very nice distribution systems. So I'll throw that in the chat box so that it's there for reference. NB0X back to net.
Yeah, that's a good point, Matthew. Thank you for mentioning that, because if you go to West Mountain or MFJ or Quicksilver, some of the major places that sell Anderson Power Poles and devices related to Anderson Power Poles, the prices can get kind of steep. But you can go, as Matt mentioned there, you can do homebrew or kind of half homebrew. I know I've picked up a couple of PCBs that all I have to do is do a little bit of soldering, and I'll have myself a distribution box. So that's definitely a good point there. Thank you, Matt. So I'm ready to take some more rechecks or new check-ins, although we're getting pretty close to the top of the hour here, so we'll be thinking about wrapping the net up pretty soon. But we've still got some time left. If you have something you want to say or something you want to ask, please call now. Right, so I think we are getting ready to wrap it up. So final call for rechecks or new check-ins for this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club net. And I forgot to mention that the date of this net is going to be the 26th of April of 2021. Okay, let me put a ribbon on it or a bow or whatever here. Where am I here in my script here? No more check-ins. Let me also mention that we have a mailing list that you can subscribe to. It's very low volume, you know, maybe two messages per week. To subscribe to it, go to the sdfarc.org webpage, and there are instructions on there. Basically, you send an email, and that will subscribe you. We also would like to have some more net control stations. So if you would like to try your hand at it, contact me at jwh@sdf.org or Matthew at nonlinear@sdf.org or say something in the SDF ARC mailing list, and we'll get back to you and and get you set up to give it a try and maybe add you to the team. So so this concludes this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club Net at, let's see, where are we here? 0052 Zulu. If you would like to continue the conversation, you can join our AfterNet in the SDF DMR Talk Group number 31650 or join us in COM on the SDF over in the Anon Radio Room. This is Net Control Station, AB9FJ, 73 for now.
AB9FJ, VK6BQQ. Lots of luck finding a controller. Golly, on our net, we've been looking for one for months. I finally found one and got some dates that she's available. But yeah, it's a challenge, sir.
Yeah, I know. We also have the same problem with our local net here. The one person who is eager to do it is not the best. Let's leave it at that. Constantly begging for someone to step forward and offer an alternative. And we've had one or two others here, and I'm hoping that Chris Hobbs will eventually come back. He's just been very busy with work, so he may come back and rejoin us. And we had a new NC from Ohio. I'm forgetting his call sign and his name right now, but he did. I think he did one net, and hopefully he'll return and maybe do some more. And then of course Michael did a couple of them, and you know all about his health issues. So we're hoping that when he's feeling better, he may also be doing some more nets here. So anyway, it's not terribly, what's the word? I'm optimistic that we'll get some help here.
AB9FJ, VK6BQQ. Yes, well, it takes patience, that's for sure, and somebody that actually has the time to do it. So, and that they're young enough to remember. So, yeah, Michael, I guess he's moved up to the campsite, so he's going to be busy for the summer. But anyway, it's always a challenge, and we do appreciate you being here for sure. 73
to you too, Reg. Take care.
All right, seeing the net's over, we're going to head to Florida. N4RNW, Mr. Harold, good morning from West Australia.
Well, good morning to you, Reg. Good evening to me here in sunny but dark Southwest Florida. Golly, trying to think of what new things have happened since I spoke to you last, and Not a whole lot. We were supposed to get maybe a stray shower today, but clear skies, partly cloudy skies all day long, and warm but not humid yet for the summer, so that's good. That'll come soon enough. How are you doing? N4RNW.
N4RNW, VK6PQQ. Well, I've been lazy this morning. I got up late, and the better half, he started taking the bins out, as it's garbage day. Even though it's a holiday, they do pick up the bins. So we got that sorted out, got a coffee, and, well, reading news. I hate reading news. It's always bad. It says here, Indonesia military finds missing submarine in pieces. No survivors. Unbelievable. I don't know whether you know, but I married an Indonesian. She's an Australian citizen, but we have a lot of family. And a lot of it is military up there in Indonesia, so a sad day.
Yeah, I saw that on the news over here. They found it about 3,000 feet below the surface, which, for all I know about submarines, that's way below crush depth. So do they have any idea what happened to it? Did it get attacked or maybe lose its buoyancy and headed on down to crush depth and then broke into pieces? I don't know.
Yeah, I imagine it's going to be a while before they discover that, but if it went down that far, it would have imploded. So that would not be good at all, but I guess it would be quick for the folks on board. But, yeah, it's just saying that they're finding pieces and no survivors. So if it went down that deep, they didn't have a chance. So I guess they'll sort out what actually happened, but in order to do something like that, I would suggest it lost power.
Yeah, N4RNW. I know I've told you the story more than once before, but over in, I think, Charleston, South Carolina, there is a port, a kind of naval museum called Patriots Point. You can look at it on the web, patriotspoint.com, and they've got the Yorktown aircraft carrier that you can walk onto explore. That's pretty fascinating. And then there's also a submarine that you can walk down into the back end and then all the way through it and then up the front end. And I was talking to one of the tour guides, who was an old timer, very nice guy, and he was explaining that when you signed up, hold on here. When you went out on one of those tours on that submarine, you had to know that it would be months before you could get back in with anybody on land, and there would be no contact, no phone, no